Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. My name's Jeremy, and I get to host most of these conversations. And today, I've got my buddy Steve. And so, Steve, honestly, what I like about these conversations is I get to learn from the questions that we are asking, and I get to apply it into my own youth ministries. A lot of people that are listening may not realize, but although we are these two, you know, voices on a podcast, but we also both are invested into youth ministries on a weekly basis. So we have got people, you know, you're listening, you're a volunteer, you've got a small group of students. Like we honestly think about these things in light of specific students as well. So sometimes we tell the stories about those students, but sometimes we don't because we want to be careful about that.
That's the hard tension, right? Because we got so many good stories that we could share, but maybe some of these teenagers that we've been working with are listening to us right now. And so we got to be careful.
Exactly. So if you are listening for maybe the first time or you're newer to our podcast, my name is Jeremy McDonald. I'm a part of the Youth Worker Community, which is this organization that looks to equip you, the frontline volunteer youth worker, in the work that you do, because it does matter so much. But I'm on the East Coast of Canada and I've done vocational ministry for over a decade. And so when we talk about these things, again, we want to make sure you realize we're not necessarily the experts in any of these issues, but we want to talk about them because just the act of having the conversation often brings to light some of the things that, you know, we might know. But you also, as a listener, have got all sorts of great ideas. So that's why we put our contact info in the show notes. So if you want to add to the conversation, make some suggestions, be a guest on the podcast itself, or submit a question, you can always do that. But now, Steve Zacharias, tell people where you're coming from and what you're up to these days.
Hey, I'm coming from southern Manitoba, the center of Canada here, and I too get the privilege of working with Jeremy McDonald with the youth worker community, but like he said too, we're all involved in local churches too, so I get to be a youth leader within my own youth context, work at camps this summer and that sort of thing, and just interface with a lot of students, which always brings these kinds of questions back, right, is we realize, oh, these things are just real challenges and issues that our teens are dealing with, and this is the life that they live, and we want to walk alongside them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So today's question, how do I help my students who are stressed about school, is something that I know I've seen, and if you're listening, you've got some of your students, probably not all your students are stressed out about school. We're recording this as we're kind of entering into a new school year, and so that's part of the reason why it is front of mind for us, because students are going back and some of them are really stressed about it. But honestly, any time of year, this can be something that that pops up, and it seems like this big commitment that students make to going to get their education, you know, Monday to Friday, ends up causing them some some stressors. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about what kind of stress you've seen in the lives of students when they think about school.
When I think of the students that I work with, there's two major stressors that I hear about consistently in conversation. One of them is the performance pressures that they feel at school. And the other...
What do you mean about performance pressures at school?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of pressure on our students to achieve. I think about, okay, now hopefully I don't step on any of my family's toes here, but I remember sitting with my daughter in a student-involved conference when she was in the eighth grade, and the teacher asking her all kinds of questions as to what she wants to do after high school, because she needed to be really on top of picking the right classes in the ninth grade to set herself up well for this career that she was going to have. And she's in the eighth grade. She's like 13 years old. She has no idea what she wants to do with the rest of her life after 13 years of living it. And it was just interesting, the amount of pressure that we felt actually interjected into the conversation. And I, as the teacher was kind of suggesting different career options that he felt were appropriate for her level of, you know, whatever giftings or that sort of thing, I interjected and I says, or you could just drop out of college like your dad did and just kind of do whatever it is that God calls you to do. And then my wife chimes in. She's like, hey, wait a second. I dropped out of college too to be a mom and do this and this and this. And we've done just fine. You don't have to have it all figured out. And just the look on the teacher's face of shock. Because here we are advocating to our kid that maybe, you know, some of the pressure that we're feeling right here, right now in the eighth grade actually isn't going to lead her, like having this all figured out at this stage of life isn't going to actually guarantee her the successes and the easy life that's being presented here. If you have it all figured out now, everything's going to be good. But that life just has some stresses. And we don't have to have it all figured out at 13.
Okay, so performance stress, because sometimes people view school as this clear launching pad into vocation and life and trying to connect all those dots. And that just has so much stress to it. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Because like, yeah, like when we look at the types of activities that I don't know, Jer, about what your experience was back when you were in high school. But as I reflect back, there were so many of the activities that I could just do just for the love of it. You know, playing sports, it was really for the fun of it. And today, it just seems like every student athlete is not only just learning the leadership and the personal development of sports, but each of them is looking at how can I leverage my athletic performance to get a scholarship, so that I can get into the right school, so I can get the right job, so I can get the right salary, because, hey, housing prices are going up, and how am I possibly going to ever afford to put food on my table if I don't excel in every venue of my student experience? So I look at some of the students that that are losing the joy of some of these things that I just enjoyed for the fun of it when I was a teenager. And I go, wow, these students are really under some performance pressures that I was not under.
Okay, so stress. So students are stressed about school. One reason because of this performance, needing to perform really well, thinking it connects to everything else. And then if they fail at that, the rest of their life is done and then they're just
right
to cash out because it's the end of the, you can't do anything. That is sounds dark and depressing.
It sounds right. And so many of our students are catastrophizing this, right? And yeah. Jared, how many times didn't you have a student that had been absent for a few weeks from a youth group and you're like, hey, where you been? And it's like, oh, I had a big test and I needed to study. And oh, I had this project. And I was like, and there's this constant cycle of these big projects and tests that were of greatest urgency, and that life would kind of come to an end if these things weren't executed with absolute perfection. And as a result, they're missing out on a really significant experience of being together in spiritual community. And that's where my heart grieves just a little bit, is that those performance pressures are such that they're actually missing out sometimes on some really key formative experiences that, that I'd love for them to have.
Okay. Okay. So students are stressed out about school because of performance issues, things. You were going to say one other one?
Yeah. You know what? I also, I just really feel often in the conversations that I have with teens is that there's some social pressures in the same way that, you know, there's pressures to perform. There's also a tremendous amount of social pressures that our students feel. Are they going to belong? Are they going to connect? Friend issues and that sort of thing. Those are also conversations that seem to be a high frequency when it comes to the kinds of stress that our students are facing.
Okay. And so does that happen? I guess like is like anytime in terms of school, like friends are bring a lot of stress trying to fit in the right group and perform well, even in that group setting.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and every season of the school year has different pressures and stresses. I think as we're coming into the back to school, for some, it's they might be starting in a new school. Maybe I've just moved up from middle school into high school and there's new relationships there. Where am I going to fit? Yeah. How am I going to connect? I might be the ninth grader coming into a school of 10th, 11th, 12th graders, or coming in as a 10th grader in a school of 11th and 12th graders. And I realize that I'm falling from the top of the totem pole to the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, in terms of what's my status here and the pressures that brings.
Okay. I want to ask you a hard question because I hear you and I can appreciate that those are real stressors in the lives of the teenagers. And as youth workers, we obviously care about the teenagers that are in our small group, but we can't care about everything that they're dealing with. And so does it actually matter to us as youth workers trying to point kids towards Jesus that there's a little bit of pressure at school? Like why do we care? And that's overstated, but why do we care?
Well, you know, because this is the reality that they bring into our space, right? Okay. And we want to create hospitality. We want to create a space for them to be them, a place of belonging, a place of understanding. And so this is the life that they bring in through the doors. And so I'm going to want to have just a little bit of understanding of what's going on for them so I know how to engage them well. Because, man, it sure would be nice if they just walked through the doors of the church and they could just turn on their church self and everything was wonderful and we could just play together and learn together. But the reality is they're walking through the doors with some of these stressors and it's going to spill over and it's going to impact the things that we want to do together. And so I'd just be, you know, I think it'd just be wise for me to just have some understanding of how to help them enter into this new space, processing, you know, the day past. And even just coming into a space where, hey, how do we get kind of context here? Where does Jesus fit into all of this as well? And I want to be a voice of that in their life.
Okay, so they've got these stressors. Mm-hmm. We want to just be aware of them. Do we need to deal with them? We're not trying to fix them or anything like that. Like, they're just realities?
I think we want to understand and we want to give them space to process them. Of course, and this is one of the places where I look at my friends that are in youth ministry, and one of the places where we often fail is we often want to be heroes that fix all the problems that are happening at school. And sometimes we can over-insert ourselves in some of these realities.
Yes.
But
yeah, because I think about that all the, yeah, like I've got so many examples of kids coming and they've got all this drama at school and it's like, right. Oh, let me solve your drama for you at school. Tell me about who, you know, sent the wrong snap to somebody else and who, you know, whatever, whatever. And like, I can try to like that's not our role though, is it? Like, I'm just thinking, okay, so here's the setup. There's a volunteer listening. Mm-hmm. They're like, youth is tonight. Tonight we're talking about, I don't know. They're talking about Jesus feeding the 10,000. And so like, this is the scripture and we're going to unpack it. And, you know, so students are coming in with all this stress, but are you saying that I should not talk about the scripture and instead talk about like the performance stress that my students have?
I wonder if we could do something here, Jay. I wonder if a person could, that youth leader come in with that message that they've prepared in one hand, and then just also a curiosity in the other hand, because as much as I, you know, and we've done this before when we've led our groups and stuff, you kind of have your vision of how youth should kind of come across today. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, man, I didn't land any of the discussion questions, didn't land the speaking time or whatever. What was going on for my youth when in reality, they made a walk through the doors and their mind was on one of these stressors. Mm-hmm. You know, their mind wasn't on the message that I had prepared for them. Theirs was on this struggle. And so I think that we're wise as youth leaders to, you know, be able to just, you know, check in. Hey, tell me about your day.
Okay.
And this might be a short process, but then how does that inform how I'm going to speak that message?
Okay.
You know, where are some of the handles that I could see that will insert in?
Excellent. Okay, so we've got a couple students where they're easily stressed. Maybe they didn't even show up a couple of weeks, but they're back and here they are, but they're really stressed out about their schoolwork, or they're really stressed out about friends at school. What do we do?
What do we do? Well, all right, let's talk about understanding what's going on for them. Because I think that's the basis, right? Good understanding gives good conversation. Good conversation brings about transformation, hospitality, that builds connection and that sort of thing. So if I'm thinking about that performance pressure, going back to that conversation that I had with my daughter's teacher and her, I just want to release some of the tension a little bit by understanding that, you know, she doesn't need to have all of life figured out, but in this moment, she feels like she does.
Okay. So that's actually, that's interesting. So in the case of some performance pressure and stress, we can actually give a different view so that some of that stress is released. So how does that sound? And like, as youth workers, I'm just nervous that maybe sometimes that stress might come from parents. That might, you know, be something that, you know, is even culturally maybe different. So what's the appropriate way to try to kind of wade into that and release some of the pressure that students have without like negating maybe the, you know, but grandma said I have to get
right
at least a 95 on my test.
Right. Right. Hey, and that brings up some really good points there, Jer. One of the, I wish I could just give you like this formula. Hey, here's what you need to do. Step one, to relieve stress. Step two, step three. But our students are dynamic and they've got unique sort of things. But one of the things, just as you shared that, one of the questions, great questions that I love to ask of students who are stressed out about some of the performance pressures, I like to ask a question like, who would be most disappointed if this didn't work out? Try to understand who are some of the voices in their life that are speaking this pressure. Sometimes it's parents, sometimes it's teachers, sometimes it's them. Often it's them. If I fail this, I will be disappointed in me. And, oh, hey, let's talk more about that. And we can explore, hey, why is it that getting 100% on this project is so defining to you? Mm-hmm. And then we recognize that some of them, they desperately need affirmation, or they want to be admired and stuff. And this is where we can start speaking some life into them as well. It's like, hey, I wonder what it's like for you to hear that. I would be just as proud of you if you got an 80% on that project as if you got 100% on that project. Mm-hmm. What if I could tell you that it would change nothing about the way I see you? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could experience the freedom to give yourself that grace. And how would getting 100% on that project change how Jesus sees you? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are good questions. So can you repeat that back? Because I think that that's something we want to carry in as youth workers. When we notice that there's stress, especially around something performance related at school, the marks, the tests, the learning, whatever it might be, that we want to ask them. What was the question again?
I ask a question, and it can go in a lot of different directions, but I'll ask a question like, who would be most disappointed if this didn't work out for you?
Who would be most disappointed if this didn't work out? And then once they answer that, then to dig in and to ask the follow-up question.
Yeah.
I think that's what you said, right? And what would be a good follow-up question again?
Well, it depends on who it is. Let's say it's parents, and it's like, oh, hey, what are the things that they say to you that communicates that? Because you know what? As a parent of teenagers, I'll often ask back my kids even to just say, hey, what do you hear me saying? And I'm often astounded at how deeply they misunderstand some of the directions that I give them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of these hard stressors do need a slight challenge and say, oh, is that really how it is? Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could circle back and have a conversation with your parent or your teacher and say, hey, here's something that I'm feeling really stressed about. Is this how you actually feel about this? What difference would it make if this happened?
Now, let me ask you this, Steve. If we've noticed that the performance at school is stressing kids out, but also that they're valuing that above and beyond anything spiritual or anything. And this is a little overstated because I don't think it necessarily comes in at this absolute, but like, gosh, they don't come to group anymore. They disengage from their like reading scripture. They don't do anything faith related because like, I got to study for that math test. Mm-hmm. Is that of the devil? Like, are we trying to pray that demon out of them? Or like, how do we deal in that regard? Because some ways you would want them to value and their spiritual journey. And lots of students aren't necessarily like all in on their spiritual journey. So this might be just a select group of our kids. But like, how do we help them to value the relationship with Christ above all else? And that includes something like their math test.
So good. Like, you know, Jer, the thought that
stickers,
comes to
read your Bible, not the textbook. Is that the idea?
Right. One of the things we just realized is that high school is probably the most significant experience in their life right now, and most defining experience in their life right now.
Yeah.
And so I do want to just bring other elements into that as well, and hopefully, and gently and kindly guide them and say, hey, there's more in life than just this here and now. Mm-hmm. In hopes to open some, you know, some awareness of there is life beyond defining yourself by high school or high school experience.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot there. I would love to, maybe we'll come back to that at some point. Because I think that's a worthwhile, thing to dig in on. Cause as volunteer youth workers, we get this all the time, right? It's like, we want to value their faith, but like, we don't want to necessarily just equate youth group attendance with faith. Cause I don't think that's fair. But also there is something about like, how do you put Christ first in your world? How do you sacrifice for him? What does sacrifice look like as a high schooler? And when that rubs against maybe some of the other pressures that people might feel. So all that to say, there's something there. And obviously if you're listening and you're like, ooh, let's dig in a little bit more. Maybe we will start like a book club or like a morning Zoom meeting or something to try to wrestle through with that.
Right.
Okay. So that's the performance side of things. Tell us a little bit about social pressure.
Or you know, just before we move on. Yeah. Before we do, Jer, one of the things I just want to recognize about the performance pressure too, because there is this topic that we want to be done talking about. Because it has just consumed so much of the airspace in the last couple of years, but we do want to talk about the impact of the pandemic on performance pressures that our students feel. Because I don't know how you felt, but I know for the first 2 weeks of the pandemic was incredibly therapeutic because I could disengage and slow down a little bit. And then I found the next 2 years completely exhausting. And I wonder how many students are returning back to studies feeling like that they're at 100%. They might be under the same performance pressure that they had before, but their energy levels might still be suffering from this experience that we had for the 2 years. They maybe they lost a little footing academically. You know, I have heard from my teacher colleagues that a lot of students have progressed through different grade levels but haven't actually accomplished the skills that they need to continue on. And so they might be failing under this pressure. And so we just need to have a little bit of additional sensitivity too, that, you know, we've got this sense of urgency. I need to perform. I need to succeed at school. But yet I've also on the flip side here, I don't feel like I've got all the tools I need to go and get that success. And it's, again, there's not a lot that we can do other than offer some hospitality and sensitivity to these things. But let's go over to, you want to move to the connection pressures as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
And so, you know, along the same train, just think about this, Jer. I think of one small group in particular within my youth group that I have lost pretty much all the students post-pandemic. And as I think about it, a lot of them did a lot of critical social development during this early adolescent development time. They did a lot of this development alone in their basements. See, they were old enough to be left alone by their parents. And so their parents were going back to their workplace, but they were studying over the last 2 years alone in their basements and trying to build some of these social skills through a platform that made it very difficult. You know, whether that be that they were connecting with people via technology, or even for those who are privileged enough to go back into a face-to-face context. One of the things that we know about young adolescents is it is a time where there's a lot of development in terms of just understanding facial expression and that sort of thing, and emotional awareness. And gaining some of that, those social cues from facial expression. And we could go and we could rabbit trail on some cool studies that have been done on this, but I was just going to bring it back into that they spent a couple years robbed of some of that information, that key information. And now I don't want to come across as catastrophizing this, like that we've destroyed our kids. All we just need to do is we need to be aware that we need to have some developmental stuff to do now, and we can catch up. I'm not catastrophizing this at all or whatever. We can catch up. But I think it is something that we need to be aware of when I am there thinking about why my students aren't coming and connecting at youth. And I start to feel a little bit like it's personal, right? They don't like me anymore, or they don't care about youth anymore. And there might be a certain reality that they've just been told for the last 2 years that the safest place for them to be is in their basement. And in a critical development time, they believed that. And so I just wanted to put that out there.
So is there anything that you think we should do with that information, or questions we should ask? Or because I do appreciate that, like at this, the front end, when we notice students having pressures and stress from school, that we can ask a little bit of that underlying question of, like, where it's kind of getting to, like, where do you not really find belonging, but like, where is this pressure actually coming from? Who's mm-hmm. giving it to you? What does that relationship look like? So I like that. I like that we can, you know, dig in and help students unpack that. What do we do in this setting?
Yeah, I think we just need to recognize that A, our students might be a little out of practice on some of the social things.
Okay.
Right? They might have a few additional anxieties that have been compounded a little bit. Yeah. And I think the most important realization, the second thing, is that youth ministry doesn't just happen within the four walls of our churches. Mm-hmm. I think there's a tremendous importance. And I think we learned that over the last couple of years, is that youth ministry happens where the youth are at. Mm-hmm. And so it might mean that we might shift some of our approaches towards reaching out to our students to include other methods than just creating a program for them to come and attend.
Yeah, that's so good. And whenever we start talking and we recognize and mention things like anxieties or so on, I always love to throw out, maybe I should throw it out more often, but episode 58 of this podcast, we had Dr. Kelly Dean Schwartz, professor of, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's psychology, but at the University of Calgary. And he talked a lot about the difference between mental health, mental disorders, and mental distress. And just this idea that this is pre-pandemic, but obviously it plays well now. That we can recognize that there are differences there, but that we play a critical role in actually helping students with the community that we offer them as Jesus followers in our groups. So,
and Jerry, you thinking about like what are the significances of the community that we're offering? What we really bring to students, like what we invite students into in terms of their own personal growth in this community that we offer?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I think it's challenging because I think as like we're small group leaders, right? We're not we're not their counselors, we're not their teachers, we're not their parents. So we don't bear the full weight and responsibility of the flourishing of these middle school or high schoolers, right? Like it doesn't depend just on us. And yet, what I think in the best of days what we're showing students and what we're experiencing inside of our youth groups is a segment of the body of Christ being together and what that actually does for people in encouraging one another, in looking out for one another, and loving one another. And so when we do that well, and I mean, a lot of times we don't do that well because it is a group of grade 7 boys and they're just trying to figure this out, or it's a group of grade 11 girls and there's a lot of drama to it. But on the good days, it offers this picture of what it looks like as the body of Christ to be together. And for people who are on all spectrums of like, not everybody believes everything we say we believe, but we're allowing them to experience this kind of community that's centered on the person of Jesus. And that's because of his love for us that we're able to actually love one another. And so I think that's why sometimes we talk about these things instead of just trying to convince students that, you know, the earth was created in 7 days, or, you know, Noah was a real person, or you got to read your Bible 20 minutes a day, or you're not a real Christian, because our faith is experienced in such different ways that we want students to not just know the right things, but we want them to feel what it's like to be inside of this kind of community so that they're always drawn back to it.
Jer, something comes to mind as you say that, and let me float something off you. I want you to push back on this one hard, because I know I'm going to use some dangerous language here that maybe some might even cringe at and say, oh, that there's dangers if that's taken too far. But there's a sense of that youth can almost serve as a bit of a secondary family. Of course, the faith development at home is so critical and so important. And the unfortunate reality is not every student has a faith at home that's being cultivated. And so sometimes there's even this opportunity to come into a place and experience a secondary family unit where faith is a central part. And there is some of that development that happens as we develop as a church family.
Yeah. I think I would maybe tweak it, and this is me just riffing, I don't know.
Yeah.
I might call it like a spiritual family. Mm-hmm. And I might actually in some ways say that I think Christ calls us to this, our spiritual family, sometimes even above our biological family.
There are times and places perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would also just caveat it to say, our youth group, isn't necessarily the whole spiritual family. Yeah. I think our, like the church, the big C church. this whole thing that includes all of us on the journey together. So that's where I sometimes want to be careful of just the our small groups, but that when we're a part of this bigger movement, this bigger
Right. And one of the reasons why I feel that that is so important is when I think about some of the things as the social development is happening for these students, one of the key objectives or one of the key tasks that I see that adolescents need to progress through is this idea of separating from family of origin, right? The home, taking a step away to evaluate for themselves identity and that sort of thing and establish themselves. The youth group, the church, can play such a key role because how many times don't students have key conversations with you that they couldn't necessarily have at home? Because as a parent, when my kid comes home and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, I instantly go to freak out mode, right? Like, because this is a reflection of my parenting skills and this, that, and I have my fears. Whereas a youth leader, I don't really carry that same baggage. Mm-hmm. I can just give a student space to process their questions and I don't go into freak out mode. And I'm so thankful for my kids' youth leaders. And in fact, sometimes I'll front load them and say, hey, you know what? My son, my daughter is having a really rough week. And I know that I'm not the right person to ask them about it right now because I might be part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Would you be so kind and would you be so gracious to ask them about how they're doing? Because I know in this moment they're struggling. Yeah. And so I'm so grateful for that secondary family where my kids can separate. They no longer have to maintain the appearances that they feel I expect of them, and they can go to a new place and they can just kind of be themselves.
Mm-hmm. This is great. I think that's probably coming to a close. I would want to give you a chance to do last words, Steve, before we do the big wrap up here, though.
Yeah. You know, we've covered so much territory and I wonder if we've adequately answered the question, but I hope that we've brought a little bit more understanding of the process that brings us to a place where we just ask different and better questions. And we operate less on the assumption that these our students are just angsty teenagers coming through the doors, but we might actually say, oh, they're actually under some stress and some pressures. Mm-hmm. And I can actually, you know, meet them at this place and help them enter in to this community that might actually be a part of a significant part of a healing journey for them.
I love it. Well, let's leave it there. And for any of you listening, we honestly think you are just making the biggest difference in the lives of teenagers. And we hope that by listening to this, you get a little bit sharper at the work that you're doing. If you want to reach out to us, we'll leave our contact info in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you if you've got a question that you're wrestling with in your youth ministry. And we'll see you back here next time for another episode of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.